This is the Hasidic Story Project with Barak Holman, podcasting from Jerusalem, Israel. This podcast is sponsored by listeners just like you. To become a supporter of this podcast, please go to HasidicStory.com. HASIDIC Story.com.
You'll never know. You'll never know. Shalom Aleichem, my sweetest friends. I have two stories for you this week. But before we begin, I want to dedicate this episode to the success of our soldiers in battle wherever they are, the returning of all the hostages, whole, complete, and healthy Be'ezrat Hashem, the refuah shlema of everybody who's been injured or who is sick, the comforting of the families of those who lost loved ones, and the continued unity of the Jewish people, God willing. Everybody knows, of course, that there are the Lamed Vav Tzadikim, the 36 hidden righteous people, that in their merit, the world exists. And because they're so hidden, and many times they're very poor, since they were created, there has always been a holy person to take care of them. The Baal Shem Tov, from the time of his bar mitzvah, until he revealed himself to the world, he was in charge of taking care of the hidden tzaddikim. And after him was the Magid of Mezrich. And when he left the world was no longer on the level to just have one leader. And so the Hasidic kingdom of the Magid of Mezrich was divided up amongst his Hasidim. And Reb Lev Saras, who was one of the closest Hasidim of the Magid of Mezrich, was given the job of collecting tzedakah for the hidden tzaddikim. It was his job to make sure that their physical needs were taken care of. And in order to do this, he was given the secret of Kfitzat HaDerech, the ability to cross the world with amazing speed. One day, he might be in Kiev, and the next day, he would be in Yerushalayim. No one ever knew when he would come to town, but everybody knew that when Reb Lev Saras showed up, he wasn't raising money for just anyone, but he was raising money for the hidden tzaddikim. And so whenever was possible, people would give as much as they possibly could. And because of his travels, Reb Lev Saras knew many Jews who were always willing to contribute to these holy causes. And one of them was a young man who was a spice merchant. He would travel through the countryside through Berdichev, buy all kinds of spices and bring them back to his store and resell them. And he was on a restocking trip going around to the various farms and merchants in the area. And he runs into Reb Lev Saras. And the tzaddik comes over to this young man and he says to him, "My sweetest friend, I'm trying to raise right now 500 rubles. And he didn't have to say any more. Everybody knew that when Reb Lev Saras was raising money, he was raising it for the hidden tzaddikim. This young man had 500 rubles, but it was the money that was left for buying merchandise to bring back to his store. But he knew that if he gave the money to Reb Lev Saras, he would be blessed many times over. And so he didn't hesitate for a moment. He gave over the full 500 rubles, even though that was all the money that he had left. And Reb Lev Saras understood this, and he said, "I'm taking this as a loan, not as tzedakah. And he'll repay the loan within a few weeks." And he wrote a note saying on which date the loan would be due. And then Reb Lev Saras told the young merchant to sell whatever spices he still had so that he would have some money to keep him going until the loan was paid off. And then Reb Lev Saras went on his way. And the merchant, not having any more money and nothing to do in the town of Berdichev, started his way back home. His wife, who was running the store, was waiting for the new merchandise. And when he showed up without it, she says to him, "What's going on?" He didn't want to tell her the truth. So he made up a story. He said he traveled around, but he didn't find the quality of spices that he wanted to have in their store. So he told her, "In a few weeks again, I'll make the trip. In the meantime, I have a little bit of money here, and we still have spices in the store. Be'ezrat Hashem, everything will be fine." A few weeks passed and it came the date for the loan to be repaid. And the young man is in his store, waiting on customers. And then a man he'd never seen before walked in and ordered a huge quantity of spices. He paid for the entire bill in cash, there on the spot, and then walked away. And about an hour later, the young man noticed that the customer had left his wallet there on the counter. He ran outside, but it had been a long time, and he couldn't find the man who had bought all the spices from him. But he figured, "I'll probably run into him at the Mincha Davening, at the afternoon prayers." And so he took the wallet with him, certain that he was going to run into the person who had bought all the spices. But when he got to shul, the stranger was not there. And just as he finished davening mincha, he hears a familiar voice behind him ask, "Did you receive your payment yet?" And the young merchant turns around, and there was standing the tzaddik, Reb Leib Saras. And he said, "Rabbi, no, I haven't received it yet." And Reb Leib Saras had a strange look on his face, but he didn't say anything, and they both went their separate ways. So when the young merchant came home, he decided to open the wallet and count the money, and it was exactly the 500 rubles that he was owed. And since this was the day that the loan was meant to be paid back, he started thinking, maybe this was Reb Leib Saras paying back the loan. So he ran back to shul, looking for Reb Leib Saras. And the tzaddik was sitting there and learning, and he was thinking to himself how pleased he was with the young merchant, that even though the payment was slightly late, he didn't mention anything when they first spoke in the shul, and also that the merchant had come so quickly to tell him that there was 500 rubles in the wallet. And so Reb Leib Saras said to the merchant, "This is the money I paid you back through one of the hidden tzaddikim. The money is yours, it's not his. I just didn't want it to come directly from me." The merchant had made so much money between the loan being repaid and the person who Reb Leib Saras had sent to buy so many spices that he was considering moving to the Holy Land, to the city of Yerushalayim. And Reb Leib Saras said to the merchant, "Young man, I appreciate everything you've done for me. And if I can fulfill your request, I want to. Please tell me, what do you want?" "Whatever you want." And the young man didn't think for more than a moment. He said, "I want to see one of the hidden 36 tzaddikim that keep the world alive." And Reb Leib Saras said, "Well, that's not so easy, but I will do my best." And he said, "I want you to go to a certain town, and there you're going to go to the last house on the last street, and you'll see there's a tailor sitting on the floor and working. I want you to knock on the door. He will let you in and mend some of your clothes, and he will tell you whether you should stay here in Ukraine or move to Yerushalayim. You know, it says in the Talmud that the sun only comes up in the morning because God says good morning to the world. There have been prophets from time to time who have heard Hashem's voice, but the Lamed Vav Tzadikim are always able to hear Hashem creating the world all the time. And so it's so frightening to be in their presence because you're standing next to a person who truly knows and hears Hashem all the time." And so the young merchant found the last house on the last street, and he went to the house at the time that Reb Leib Saras told him to go, after midnight. And in the window, he saw a tailor sitting alone, stitching and sewing by hand with the deepest concentration. And he knew already that this tailor sitting on the floor was 100% a hidden tzaddik. And the young merchant got very nervous. He didn't know what he was going to say, and he realized he didn't have any clothes to mend. So he went into a back alley and started ripping his pants in different places. Then he goes and he knocks on the door of the Lamed Vav tailor. And he says, "Shalom Aleichem, I apologize for the late hour, but my pants need fixing. Would you be able to help me?" And the Lamed Vav tzaddik says to him, "Yes, of course, come in, please. I'd be very happy to mend your pants. Just take a seat in the corner and give them to me." And this young merchant, he didn't understand that when you're giving your clothes to a tailor that's actually a hidden tzaddik, you're not giving him your outer garments, you're giving him your soul. And so the young merchant was sitting in the corner of the room, in the shadow, watching the Lamed Vav tailor take his needle into the pants and out of the pants. He would lay the pants on the table and arrange them, and then lift up one leg and began sewing. And as the hidden tzaddik tailor put the needle in one leg of the pants, the merchant, who was sitting in the corner, went, "Oi! You think that the Lamed Vav tailor was putting the needle in the pants?" "No, my friends. He was putting it right in the merchant's soul. And then he takes it and stitches again. And the merchant shouts out, "Oi! Do I need fixing? Hashem, I thought I knew what tshuva was all about. But this really hurts." Then the tailor took the needle and went in from the other side, and the merchant shouts out, "Oy vey!" He was in so much pain. He didn't expect this. He didn't understand what was going on. But it wasn't physical pain. It was spiritual pain. And when finally one of the parts where he had ripped the pants was finally mended together, he sighed with relief. "Oh, thank God! I feel so much better now." And then the tailor gently mended more pieces of the ripped pants together. And every time he did, the merchant felt more whole than before. And he's staring into the eyes of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim, and he's feeling his ripped soul being mended together. And then suddenly there was a knock at the door. It was a young man, probably 17 or 18 years old, standing at the doorway, and he looked like a Jewish prince, wearing a golden robe and a black velvet scarf. The merchant had no idea who was standing at the door, and no one bothered to make any introductions. But we know that the prince that was standing there was none other than Reb Motole of Chernobyl. He was training to be the next caretaker of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. And as the Lamed Vav tailor was working, he turned to Reb Motole and he said, "Nu, Motole, have you learned how to fix yet?" And Reb Motole is watching the tailor sewing, and he said, "No, not yet." This time, the tailor took his needle, and he was mending the pants. But really, he went much deeper this time, and he started mending the whole world in order to show Reb Motole how to heal. And this Jewish merchant was in such pain. It wasn't just his soul being fixed. He was taking part in the fixing of the whole world. And every time the tailor put the needle into the pants, the merchant would shout, "Oy vey!" But Reb Motole also shouted, "Oy!" Each time the tailor pulled the seams together, both the merchant and Reb Motole were shouting. And when he finally mended the pants, they both said, "Ah, thank God it's over. How can anyone handle the pain of being so ripped apart and put back together?" And finally, all of the places that the pants were ripped were fixed. The Lamed Vav tailor holds them up and says, "No. Try them on." And the merchant puts on the pants. And then the tailor turns to Reb Motole and he says, "Motole, did you learn enough that next time you can fix everything by yourself?" And Reb Motole says, "Yes, I believe I have." And then the Lamed Vav tailor turns to the rich merchant and he said, "Now that your pants are fixed, you can dance with them in the streets of Jerusalem." And the merchant went back home and told his wife the story of what had happened, that he got the blessing from Reb Leib Saras, and that he wasn't sure if they should move to Yerushalayim, and that his soul was mended by the Lamed Vav tailor. And he told his wife and children, "We're moving to the holy city." And maybe 30 years passed, and he got very sick. And the doctors in Jerusalem told him that they couldn't cure him. But now the older, wealthy merchant had heard there was a great tzaddik back in Ukraine, whose name was Reb Motole of Chernobyl. And so he decided to travel back to see if the great tzaddik could heal him. And when he came to Chernobyl and he went to Reb Motole's house on Friday night, the second Reb Motole saw the merchant, he knew exactly who he was. But when the merchant saw Reb Motole, he didn't realize that the great tzaddik was the 17-year-old boy that he had seen all those years before in the house of the Lamed Vav tailor. And so he fainted. Because to be in the presence of such a great tzaddik like Reb Motole, someone who could heal the whole world, he couldn't handle being in his presence. And when he came to, Reb Motole said, "Why did you faint?" And the merchant says, "Rebbe, you don't remember me? I was there when you got smicha, when you got your ordination from the Lamed Vav tailor. And I remember how the tailor said to you, 'So Reb Motole, do you now know how to fix things?'" And Reb Motole smiled, and he said to the merchant, "My sweetest friend." He didn't say Reb Motole. He just said Motole. Because if you're going to be a tzaddik, you don't need any honor whatsoever. And even calling your fellow Jew Reb Motole would have taken away from his ability to heal. And since he truly did have the ability to fix the whole world, he was able to give a bracha to this Jew and heal him. And the Jew returned to the holy city of Jerusalem, where he remained for the rest of his life. And he would always tell his friends and family that the experience of seeing the holy face of the tzaddik, Reb Motole, gave him the strength to continue helping his fellow Jews until his final day. Da 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 I have one more story for you. Eliezer Lipman and his wife Mirush were machnasei ochim, were people that always brought in hungry beggars, travelers, rabbis that were traveling around, and never turned anyone away from their home. If somebody wanted to stay there for a week, they could stay for a week. And some people stayed for a year, and they would never ask anyone to leave. And so they were known far and wide for having an open house and helping Jews in any way they could. And it wasn't just the Jews down here on earth that heard about their infinite, almost limitless hospitality. In Shemayim, in heaven, they saw it as well. And it was decided in heaven that this couple, Eliezer Lipman and Mirush, deserved a great reward. And there was a discussion in the Beit Din Shenmala, in the holy court upstairs, what was the best way to reward this couple for what they did. And then the prosecuting angel shows up and he says, you know, I don't think they deserve such a reward. It's not such a big deal to just feed guests. They always have enough food for themselves. And it's true that some of the people that show up are very dirty and smelly. But I wonder, would they be able to handle a truly repulsive beggar with the same kindness that they do people who are not repulsive? And so it was decided in heaven that Rebbe Eliezer and his wife would be tested. And if they passed the test, they would get an even greater reward. A few days later, there's a knock at the door. But this wasn't a normal beggar. It was a leper, a person that had leprosy, which is a type of bacteria that spreads all over the body and is very infectious. It makes a person look terrible and smell as well. Rebbe Eliezer and his wife invited him in and smiled, not showing the slightest bit of shock when he showed up. And the leper told them, nobody brings me in their house. Everybody just gives me some food or money and waits for me to leave. It's okay, I don't have to come in. I know what I look like and I know what I smell like. And the leper pointed to all the scabs on his body. He told them, I'm really sorry. I haven't bathed in months, and no one can handle helping me, but I can't do it alone. And Mirush said, come on in. The leper comes in, and they invited him into the kitchen, where she prepared a meal for him. And she insisted that the leper stay in their home until he was healed. And every morning, Rebbe Eliezer would put special creams on the leper's sore, and they would bathe him. And as the days passed, his sores began to heal, and his skin improved. And slowly, they took off the old, dirty clothes that stuck to his body. And the leper would bathe, and they gave him new clothes. And over the weeks, the leper got better and better until he was fully recovered. And Eliezer and Mirush insisted that he stay until he had fully regained his strength. And when he was finally ready to go, they gave him some money. And Rebbe Eliezer walked with him part of the way. And when they were about to say goodbye to one another, the former leper says to Rebbe Eliezer, and the merit of the kindness that you show towards every person, including a beggar with leprosy like myself, Be'ezrat Hashem, you and your wife will raise holy children who will one day be great tzaddikim. And Rebbe Eliezer said, Amen. And with that, the former leper walked away. Until that time, Eliezer and Mirush had three sons that were not known to be very great scholars. In fact, they weren't so good in cheder at all. But from the moment they got the blessing from the former leper, their children started becoming amazing Torah scholars, very strict in their performance of mitzvot and true menches. And two of their sons became some of the closest chassidim of the Maggid of Mezrich, who of course was the successor of the Heilige Baal Shem Tov. And the two of them became great rebbes in their own right. And their names were the Heilige Rebbe Reb Zusha of Annapolis, and the Rebbe, Reb Melech of Lezhansk. And so you see, my sweetest friends, you never know. You'll never know when you do a favor for a fellow Jew. You'll never know when you smile, when you give tzedakah. You'll never know when you give a meal to someone in need. And as a result, just do all you can, as much as you can. And my blessing to you, and please bless me back, is that Hashem bless us in the merit of our mitzvot in helping one another, just like Rebbe Eliezer and his wife, the Rebbetzin Mirush. Thank you so much for listening, my sweetest friends. As always, thank you to all the contributors, the monthly, the weekly, the daily, everyone in every way. And thank you for listening and for sharing the podcast and for stopping me on the street and saying hi. And until next week, my sweetest friends, have a beautiful Shabbos, have a good week, and sei gesund.
לחיים!